What's happening?
Ian, you're just a profile picture. Shut the fuck up. You're not supposed to be talking.
Oh, brilliant. That is at the start, aren't we? Ah, Periscope. Everyone can hear us. It's fucking gas.
Are we on?
Yeah, we probably are on. We have a little chat before I actually do the introduction. So we pretend that we know we're on. We do that.
I have no idea what's going on.
I know. You very rarely do.
So it's pre-season.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I think we're on Periscope.
We put this festival on, you bastards, with a lot of love. We worked for 1 year for you pigs. And you want to break our walls down? And you want to destroy it? Well, you go to hell.
After our summer break, we're all tanned and everything. I'm going to show you all the lads now in a minute. Fatback 4, what are we going to talk about? We're probably going to talk about Liverpool. We're definitely going to talk about football's coming home, because that's what we do. There we are, all on screen, all good. Welcome. We're all back, we're all tanned, except Grizz. Grizz is not as tanned as he used to be. Where do we start? Football's coming home. I have to start with you three at English, and it's all about football's coming home. I'm actually getting on board with it. Not supporting it, but I'm getting on board with it. I think it's great. Matt, I'll come to you first, the most optimistic of optimistic people. Are England winning the World Cup?
No, mate.
No.
We're not.
All right. Okay, well, there's the optimism gone. Lovely. They're not winning it. That's it.
Nah. We haven't really played anyone good, have we? It's been fun, don't get me wrong. It's been all right, but we've just played shite. Croatia will be a different beast. They were looking leggy, but they're a different beast again. If we beat them, it'll be a set-piece thing. We haven't really been playing that well, but fuck it. It's an excuse to get pissed, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. I've seen loads of that people getting pissed. The fella going through the fucking bush shelter was unbelievable. How we just walked away from that was unbelievable. Ian, the football's coming home, Ian. Do you think they're winning it?
No.
No. You're not behind this at all, eh?
I don't give a fuck, to be honest. No. But I hate English fans. Hate them.
Why do you hate them?
They're just all bellends.
Alright, okay.
Just walking around town with the fucking cans of Stella singing it's coming home and swilling people and all that. Fuck off. I think Sweden will definitely beat them.
Definitely.
Nah, I mean, you know what? They'll do Croatia. Like Matt's right, they played no one. They played Tunisia. Mm. Behave. Played Panama. Behave. We're very lucky against a really poor Colombia side with no Rodriguez. I didn't see the Sweden game. But Sweden are just basically England B. Do you know what I mean?
Who's on the other side?
France, Belgium in the other semi-final.
Yeah.
I can see it being us, France in the final. Fucking punch me in the face. I can see it being England, France in the final. And England's best chance is like what he just said there. It's just to hold on and set pieces, I think.
I'd rather play France than Belgium.
Go for the country. Go for the economy and all that. But fucking sales of Stella go through the roof. Fucking wankers.
I'm enjoying it.
I'm going to get into the football itself in a minute. Grizz, I'm going to ask you the same question. Football's coming home. Are England winning it?
Yeah, you see, what it is, I'm more English than them, so I'm really into it.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. It started off a bit slow.
He's English when it's England football, but he's Pakistan when it's cricket. He's a fucking load in the arse, this lad.
Yeah. Chameleon, yeah? Am I a chameleon?
Yeah.
It's better than
not
being
a chameleon. You're a fucking sellout.
So, yes, as I was saying, before I got rudely interrupted after 3 seconds, world record this time, I think he's brilliant. fucking London's absolutely heaving, business is booming, long may it continue. I'm a businessman, Gav. I want England to go all the way. I don't care if it comes home, I just, as long as they go all the way, atmosphere's fucking heaving.
Yeah, that's what you're wishing for. What,
yeah.
Are they going to win it? Do you think they can win it?
No. I think they'll beat Croatia. I think they've got a very good chance against Croatia.
I actually fancy them more against Croatia than I would have Russia. For some strange reason.
Yeah, I think Frankfurt Degs is due a wobble. What a time to wobble in the semi-final of the World Cup when he sees old Harry Kane. But, I think it's very level. Croatia must be shattered, man. They've had about 3 penalty shootouts, haven't they? Every game has been gone to fucking penalty shootout. So they must be shattered. They're playing the same team again and again.
I was asking my mate this, the one who works at Liverpool, and he asked one of the fitness coaches or whatever, and they said there's not much difference between a 90-minute and a 120-minute. There's a massive difference between not playing and playing, or an extra day, but the difference in recovery from 120 to 90 is not that big.
Yeah, there's obviously a big difference in, you know, the pace of the game when it goes into extra time, and that's mainly down to, I suppose, fitness and then the mentality of we don't want to lose thing, but... Matt, I think you're right. I think I thought Colombia
played.
I know, and I'm going to agree with you. I think Colombia played into England's hands. They turned the game into some sort of scrap that they didn't need to. And when they actually played football, they looked under England under a lot of pressure. And I think Sweden played into their hands as well. But don't get me wrong, I thought England were very good yesterday.
It was strangely easy yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I wasn't worried.
They were the most Premier League style side that they've come up against. And England were comfortable with that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they played like Sweden.
Ian's fucking off.
Yeah, he's right. But Sweden play like, you know, a mid to lower
don't do it.
League Premier League team. You know the kind of way. And I think it's
suited. Yeah, I know what you mean.
They just matched them up and played better than them. And I think it's suited.
Yeah,
better,
yeah.
You know,
but Gab, you know, something to add to that. You know, if they reach the final, if Belgium get through, I think they've got a very good chance against Belgium rather than if they played France in the final. And because of that factor, that Belgium are made up of all Premier League players, aren't they? I think it's going to be a proper Premier League slugfest, isn't it? Because they're not very... I know they've got KDB and Hazard, but they've got a few big lumps in their team as well. It's just going to be set piece. You know, who can handle each other's set pieces and who can sort of capitalise on a set piece. That's if they reach the final when they play Belgium. Against France, I think France will do them.
Well, to be honest with you, I think if like Belgium come up against them, I think it's a higher grade Premier League team. It's a top end Premier League team they're playing, if you put it in that context. But France, for me, I think they're favourites out of all of them, and I think they're clear favourites because I think they're really solid. But I think the likes of Griezmann and Mbappe, you know, they can do you like that. It's no problem to them. I don't want to spend loads of time in England. I want to get into Liverpool because this is what we're here for. Football started back yesterday, Matt.
We're going to discuss the Liverpool players' performances at the World Cup.
Okay, so go on, pick a player.
Don't listen to him, Gav. You do what you want, mate.
That's okay. Pick a player and tell me what you think of him. Tell us how Trent Alexander-Arnold done at the World Cup, Chris.
I think that one game that he played, he's done fantastically well.
Yeah, I think the best Liverpool player in this tournament has been Jordan Henderson. Would you agree?
Nah. Actually,
I think between him and Dejan Lovren, to be honest with you, if we're talking about the quality of opposition that Hendo's had to face, I think Ian was saying like the quality of opposition played. Fucking Degs has played some fucking strikers in his in Croatia's run, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. But I think Henderson is integral to this England team. I think if Henderson plays well, they play well. That's the way I think. About it. Ian, have you watched all the England games?
No.
Have you watched any of them?
I didn't watch the Tunisia game. I watched most of the Panama game. Who was the other one?
The interesting one for me is Belgium. Colombia. Did you watch Colombia?
Yeah.
Right. Did you not think that in that game that Henderson was in midfield on his own, more or less? Because Lingard
and Andy
went
disappearing. I thought that was
his worst game.
Is your name Ian? I think Henderson is going to get... in the team of the tournament. I think he's been excellent. He can only play well against who he plays against. He can't play well against France because he hasn't played France.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it's a big fuck you to all the people on Twitter who think he's dog shit. Like,
yeah, I just think against Colombia, I thought Lingard went missing. I think Ali was disgraceful against Colombia, and I think
Ali's been poor all tournament, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think them players are there that if they're not affecting things going forward, they have to get in and help in midfield. And I thought Henderson was just chasing. He wasn't chasing shadows, but he was doing a hell of a lot more running than he should have been. I thought, you're saying it was his poorest game, Matt. I thought it was his best game.
Okay.
I've never met three people that have their country in a semi-final World Cup. Just keep going. Yeah.
Brazil got what they deserve, not playing our Bobby, didn't they?
Yes.
I thought that was stupid.
Massive mistake. Chris. Yeah.
Gauch, not English, Gav.
Yes, correct. Yeah, I forgot that before I come on. Grizz, let's go to Firmino. And not so much. I thought you played well in every game you come on, but what was the thinking in Brazil behind starting Jesus before him? Because the difference in the Brazil team when he comes on was ridiculous.
It's difficult to know, anyway. I didn't watch much of Brazil's qualifying to know that did Jesus play an integral part. Maybe he's a loyal manager, loyal coach, and then, you know, stuck with Jesus or Jesus, however you want to pronounce it. But I don't get the issue. I don't get why we're so upset and why we're up in arms that Bobby's not playing. Why is he not? I'm so happy. I think, as a Liverpool fan, because we're Liverpool fans first. Mm. Am I right, lads? We're Liverpool fans first.
Yeah, Liverpool, Pakistani cricket, then England football.
In that order. We just beat Australia. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute.
And the LA Lakers.
Right, no, check this out.
Liverpool, Pakistan, Bayern cricket.
Yeah. Lake Orient.
What was that, man?
Lake Orient and Kabaddi.
The new box for Essex.
Yeah. We'll come to that later. So, listen.
Oh, brilliant. I never knew that. Go on, we'll get to that later.
He's got medals.
Check this out. From a Liverpool fan's point of view, I think this World Cup's been fantastic because our front three have had a lovely rest. Mane, Bobby and Salah out in the early rounds. Lovely jubbly. Well, Bobby not playing. So they're the three that played the most during the season. They've had a lovely rest. Hendo, who has had the most minutes, etc., etc., we bought Fabinho so he can start the season off instead of while Hendo puts his feet up. And Degsy, who's a confidence player, fucking hell, imagine his confidence when he comes back to fucking Melwood after reaching the final or semi-final of the World Cup. I think, as a Liverpool fan, this World Cup's been fucking brilliant.
Well, I'll tell you what.
You're saying that about Lovren's confidence and everything. What's Fabinho's confidence like coming back to?
He don't give a shit.
Hold on. What do you mean he doesn't give a shit? You're telling me how good it is for Lovren, but then Firmino goes in and he's watching this lad up front ahead of him. He comes on, he scores in the game, he nearly changes games, he's much better than Jesus. Well, how does he feel coming back?
No, I agree with Chris. Bobby's a baller. He doesn't care. He's full of confidence, whatever happens.
He's insecure. Diggs is insecure.
Yeah,
Bobby's going on a 3-week bender now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's putting two stone on, definitely. Yeah.
But his characters are being taken off him and everything, I'd say.
I'll tell you why I'm annoyed that Bobby's not playing, Grizz. Because from a non-selfish point of view, there's nothing better, especially for a Brazilian, than playing for your national team. And if anyone has earned it, it's been him this last season. That's why I'm annoyed at it. Of course, I want him back better, but he's a fucking lovely lad and he deserves to play in that team ahead of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
I disagree with
it. It's a no-brainer. I heard someone saying that Jesus was being brought up through the ranks to play in this system for Brazil, and this is the way
he's the new golden boy, isn't he?
Yeah, and this is the path that they've looked for him from all the way from 17s, 19s, 21s up to now. But that doesn't fucking wash him here. If he's not playing, he didn't score, he didn't do fuck all, let's be honest about it. I feel a bit sorry for Firmino. Anyone else you want to touch on, Graves, seeing as that you're running this show?
No, I think that's very covered. That's what you think?
Yeah, that's the World Cup covered. Pickers a winner out for the World Cup, Ian Pickerson.
Sweden,
yeah, I agree. France, Greece,
or Belgium, or sorry, Croatia.
I think you'd have a chance.
No,
he'd be fucking gone mad, wouldn't he?
Let me get it right. I won't be, but I'll be happy for them if they win. But I can't jump on board and start calling them we and singing three lines and all that, because that my affinity went out the window with the music. You know what my issue is, right? I won't get on a soapbox, but my issue is I can't get on board with other England fans who run down Scousers like 11 and a half months of the year, call us all kinds, and then I'm supposed to be mates with them during the tournament. I can't get on board with it. I don't work that way.
That's fair. I'm the opposite. I love a bandwagon. I'll jump on it.
Oh, you're on it. There's loads of wagon wheel. Yeah, if Mac would get a little bus painted in different and all the England colours and drive around fucking wherever he's living, I'd say he'd definitely do it. Mac, pick us a winner.
England.
Okay, I love it.
Just to annoy you, yeah, it's coming out.
I know exactly what you've done it. Grizz, right, who are you going for, Grizz?
From the start, go and check the podcast, France, sticking to it.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with France as well. I think they'll edge out Belgium, but I fancy England against Croatia, as I said. I think against Russia, I think they might have more problems.
Well, it's in Moscow, isn't it?
Yeah,
so if it was against Russia, there'd be a load of fucking atmosphere would be huge, wouldn't it?
The atmosphere, Russia, Croatia was unbelievable.
Ian, Matt, all right, no problem. We can't get behind England fully for the reasons that you mentioned. But what do you guys think about Southgate? I think he's a nice.
He's doing great. I'm behind England, but I don't really like the English fans.
Shut the fuck up and talk to Ian. Ian, do you like Southgate?
You said
you know what? I like him as a man. I don't think he's particularly hot stuff in the coaching area, but what I will give him credit for, John Stones and Harry Maguire are playing really well, and they're playing really well in a back three. Either of them in a back four is found out really badly, especially Harry Maguire, who turns like cream. Do you know what I mean? So he's really got them. He's playing them in a formation that works, as opposed to managers in the past who just threw all our world class players on the pitch and tried to get to figure it out.
Well, listen, with a national coach, do you really need to be that good on the training ground? You've got 3 weeks with them.
I think you need
to be more of a motivator and maybe quite fairly good tactically, which he probably is.
Does he come across as a good motivator though?
I'll tell you what he comes across to me, because I've no vested interest in this. I'm just watching it to enjoy the World Cup, and you know, whoever's winning is winning. For me, what Southgate's done is he's shut the media up very, very well. He's come out with, you know, we're a team, we do everything together. He's not going off that. He's not having players doing wild interviews and saying this and saying that. He's got them all together. He's kept a lot of stuff in house, and he's been quite free with the media, with, you know, open media days and stuff like that. So the media have actually grown to him and put a lot less pressure on this team. And I think that's the biggest attribute he's had in the whole team. I think the substitutes in the game are way too late and sometimes wrong. But having said that, he has this kind of team bond together at the minute where they're all doing it for each other, and that's probably his biggest attribute, and it's got him through so far. Major test against Croatia, absolutely major test, because these boys will keep the ball and they're quite good going forward. I wouldn't say they're outstanding going forward, but they're quite threatening going forward. I'm going to stick with France anyway, but we'll see how it goes. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday, the semi-finals. England's is Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think it is. Right, on to Liverpool. Enough of that fucking
mess.
Next Sunday. This day.
Is it Sunday, is it?
Yeah,
Sunday
we do with Jordan. Seven. If England are playing, we do with Jordan the final. Just for you, Ian.
Yeah,
absolutely. Right, on to Liverpool. The pre-season kicked off yesterday. 7-0 win away to Chester FC. Good to have the lads back. Matt, did you watch the game?
No.
You didn't watch it. Ian, did you watch
the game? I saw Fabinho hit the post.
Yeah, he did. Ian, did you watch it?
No, I was in work.
Were you? Okay. Grizz, did you watch it?
Yep.
Okay.
Best boy.
All right, best boy. Grizz, tell me, how many of them players do you think out of the 22 that played yesterday have a chance of being in Air Force 11? Or even being near the squad?
You said too many numbers to him there. He's about to have a stroke.
Well, I'll tell you, I watched...
struggling here, Les.
I watched it yesterday, right? Karius, Fabinho.
Yeah.
Karius, Fabinho, Keita.
Klein will start right back. Robertson will start left back.
Robertson, okay.
Milner.
Mm. Yeah.
Nabi?
I don't know, I said that.
Don't care.
What did you said there? Klein will start at right back, or he did start at right back?
I think he'll start the first game or two, Ian.
No, Trent hasn't played in the World Cup.
Yeah, but Trent's due back like only about 7-10 days before the first game, Ian. Mm. I think he'll be touch and go.
I think he has that place, you know.
Eh?
I think if Klein's fit, he has that place.
I think so. I'm agree with you.
Maybe for the reason Chris just said. Not everyone's full of beans.
Klein's a very good right back.
I think it's just because I think he might want him for about a couple of weeks training before he throws him in there. I think Klein will start the first game. And the only dilemma for me is who's going to partner VVD in that first game, lads, because front foot Degsy's obviously going to have a few weeks off. Gomez, Clavin, or Mr. Matip?
Matip.
If he's fit, yeah?
He's still out injured, yeah.
He's still out injured, man. Yeah.
He's still injured. Yeah, he's...
I think you're going to see Gomez at centre-half a bit this season.
I would like that. But if it's first game, he puts Raggy in.
What, and puts VVD to the right?
No, he puts Raggy to the right.
Nah,
just making this up as he goes on. Clavin right back to be grand.
who played goal second half?
Danny Ward.
I heard he had one. Not I heard.
Briz, if you
watched it,
Briz, if you keep putting your head over to the far side of that kitchen and trying to talk into that mic, I'm going to cut you off. Just put your head in front of the mic. Thank you. You keep disappearing over here somewhere and then trying to talk to us.
It's the fan. I'm trying to get some air.
Yeah, okay. Open the door.
Yeah, no, I think Gomez is nailed on to play centre-half this week, this season.
You do?
All right. Who was the four centre-backs this game?
Yesterday was Gomez and a guy that was on trial, I think.
Matt Phillips.
And then the second half was Clavin and, believe it or not, Chiravella played centre-half yesterday for the second half. It was literally a training game. I want to get into this because I've seen people saying, you know, Sturridge was brilliant. Sturridge, look at Sturridge, he's back and he's this. Lads, be honest. Is there any fucking danger of Sturridge being anywhere near this squad come August tonight?
Go to Matt.
Listen, if he can stay fit, he should be 100% there.
Right.
100%. There's no better backup to Firmino than Daniel Sturridge.
What I would say is if I went to gym every day, I'd be ripped. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Bollocks.
No, not really. Grizz goes to the gym every day. Look at him. He's a fat prick.
He only goes with a vending machine.
Yeah, he said he was a machine for the day. Grizz, let me put this to you, right? Daniel Sturridge is allowed to go out on loan by Liverpool. Was it in January? Right? We had the same backup in January as we have right now today. Right? Daniel Sturridge comes back, plays 45 minutes. He was decent in the game. I'm not going to knock him. But he scores two goals and people are like, oh, I thought it was over, Daniel Sturridge. I can't believe I'm getting back into this again. This can't continue.
It's because he's a great fucking player. That's why.
He's not a great player. A great player turns up and plays fucking football. The name player. He hasn't played. He went to West Brom. Right,
Was the original Ronaldo a great player?
Yes.
Or not, because he got injured? Well, he got injured.
Yeah, I know he got injured, but he didn't have as many injuries as he did.
Matt,
on your hands, can you name the amount of years Daniel Sturridge has been a world-class striker? For me personally, I'm going to be honest, I think the lad is insanely talented. I know where you're coming from, Matt. But at the end of the day, so honestly, I can remember him two seasons smashing it in his career.
Whenever Daniel Sturridge plays, he will always get a goal. No matter if he's injured or he's been injured or not, when you put him in the team, his numbers will be a 1 and 2 striker. And that is for a backup. If we can get 25 games out of him next season, fucking keep him. The only reason he went is because he wanted to play for England and he got injured, so he couldn't. But that was the only reason he went. If he stayed and we can get 20 games out of him, 25 games, fucking right, keep him.
Yeah, but the thing is, Matt, like, He was fit at Liverpool and he still allowed him to go to West Brom. Now he's come back with the same cover and probably more cover in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I don't know why we keep doing this to ourselves every fucking year.
Listen, I'm not saying we should be relying on him. We need another backup. We all know that. We need a wide forward or something. I'm not saying we should rely solely on him. But if it's going to be between 25 games from him or 25 games from fucking Dom Solanke, the knobhead, or 25 games from Divock Origi, who do you want? Sturridge all day long?
Why did you call Solanke a knobhead then?
Ah, just angry.
What's he done?
I like him.
Listen, you just needed to beef out your argument, didn't you?
Matt, you're mentioning 25
for a while.
You've mentioned 25 about six times, right?
Yeah.
Can someone tell me, I don't know if any of you lot know, or if any of our listeners, viewers or whatever, exactly, go and fucking check on your phone.
I'll fucking
check. When was the last time Daniel Sturridge played 25 games in a season?
13, 14.
Thank you.
I'd hazard a guess at 13, 14.
Yeah, I'd say that, yeah.
And you know
that'd
something?
Be my guess as well.
I would say he wouldn't be far over 25 starts since. Genuinely.
That's a shout. That's a shout.
Okay. Genuinely. There we go.
Well, going back to your original question, why do we do it to ourselves?
All right, he had 20. Not last season, season before.
20 that's appearances.
25.
Yeah, he had 10 last season, but you remember, he left halfway through.
Yeah.
And he had 14 the year before.
So Gav's right.
So 25 appearances over the
last
season.
And he scored 48 in 98. For us, yeah, there's a fucking one and two strikers. You back up, you did nothing better.
So he's played 100 games in 5 years. No, sorry, he's played 100 games in 6 years.
Basically, five
and a half years. He's played 98 games.
All right, hold on.
I can tell you, them 98 games, I would hazard a guess that between January 2014 and May 2014 will probably be about 50 of them games.
I know it was
because the first season he joined in January, so you can fuck right off with that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full seasons he's had. That's 20 games a season on average.
Yeah, but right, you're giving me giving me 48 goals in 98 games.
Done.
10 of them goals was in that half a season after he joined. What I'm saying to you is we keep doing this every season, and this, you know, people say, oh, the squad depth, and you can't call this squad depth if Daniel Sturridge is your backup. I don't give a fuck how good he is. Do you know, it just does me head in now that
As I said, I don't want him as the only backup. We need another striker.
I don't want him as backup. I hope he leaves. I hope he's gone.
I hope he's here just to annoy you.
I know, yeah. Well, I hope he's here. I hope he scores. If he was here and
scored, I hope he scores in the World Cup final. Annoying as well.
Me and Ian would be free.
You know what he's like? You know what he's like? He's like Megan Fox without a minge.
Yeah.
Stunning, but fucking useless.
I've often thought that.
She's got an arsehole.
I've often thought that.
Sorry, yeah, I forgot. Fair enough.
Matt was a true bomb there.
There's the 25 games around the back.
Well, Matt, even though I was watching him yesterday, he's adjusted his style, you know. He's dropping deep. Even though it was chest down, he was like sort of playing carpenters and whatnot. He was still dropping deep, trying to play through balls, you know, linking.
Sound. He's got enough for that. He's that good a player.
Need Daniel Sturridge dropping deep in our team.
I'll tell you why. I thought about this last season because I did notice he started doing that. He started not playing off the shoulder. He'd come deep. And I explained it on the pod to you. He's probably been asked to do that by Klopp. And for this reason, if you take Bobby off, but you want to keep the shape and you want to keep the team how it is, you need someone who is similar to Bobby to come on. You don't need a Dominic Solanke who we can boost it up to because he's a knobhead. You need someone like Sturridge who's going to replace Firmino offers the team, and that's why he's probably trying to do that. So he is the replacement.
He's not.
He's also
You're looking at him as a plan B. Yeah. Maybe he's a plan A. So like it's similar to Firmino.
No, do you see Firmino? You watch Firmino play. Do you see Sturridge putting in the work that Firmino puts in?
No.
So if Firmino doesn't play against West Ham on the opening day of the season because he was away at the World Cup, and Sturridge comes into that team with Salah and Mane there, do you see Sturridge being the backup to Firmino in a way that we can play the same way?
I don't see any striker who we get as backup putting in the work that Firmino does, so that's a moot point. The fact is, if you put Sturridge in, if he's fit, and you put Sturridge in for the start of the season, I guarantee he'll get a goal. That's what he offers.
I guarantee that Sturridge isn't here for the start of the season.
Yeah, I hope that's
I think Klopp's going to go on the charm offensive all pre-season, talk up Sturridge, oh, fantastic, a new fit Sturridge is amazing for us. And then exactly, Matt, no one, ITK Grizzly now, no one's even willing to pay 5 million up front for Daniel Sturridge now.
Good, keep him.
Honestly, now think about that. This is Daniel Sturridge, and we all agree he's insanely talented. Because he's probably still the best finisher in the club, right?
Yeah.
He's still, I know what you're saying. He's the best finisher. I just don't think he's going to be in the position to finish. I just don't physically. I don't think physically he can get into positions to finish.
I know what you mean. And if he wasn't our striker, I'll be saying no way in fucking hell we go out and buy him. But he's our striker. He's here. He's looking fit. He scores your goals. He will play 20 games a season. Who do you want playing 20 games a season? Him or Solanke?
Yeah, him.
I'll move away
from Sturridge. It's just, it does me head in every summer, and I think this will be the last summer, because I think he will go. I think you'll probably see him on the loan deal. We're an option to buy for fucking 8 million quid, or just to get him off the books, because you have to remember, he's on 140 grand a week, and we're hoping to get 20 games out of him over the season, which could be a 60 game season. So we play one every, he play once every fucking 3 games, and we're paying him 140 grand for it, where it could be put to better use, in my opinion. Let me go through Fabinho. We haven't been on a podcast since Fabinho signed. Matt, what do you make of this signing? Are you happy with it? He wasn't at the races yesterday. That's my opinion. He strolled around the place yesterday. It was a real kind of, it was nearly a warm down rather than a training match for him. But physically imposing and all that. But what do you make of this man?
Is Baird's boss, isn't she?
Yeah.
She'll be off Twitter by November. Guaranteed. Yeah. But guaranteed. For the time being, she's class. Listen, I haven't watched too much of him. I haven't got enough time to watch all these foreign leagues. But from people who know, you read up, he's a very, very good player. He offers us, well, he's an Emre Can replacement, it looks like to me. He's going to be that sitting number six player, who I think Hendo might move up a little bit. His leg seems to be okay, his foot seems to be fine, he's mobile again. I think he can move forward a little bit now, and Fabinho there. But even if not, fuck it, we've finally got depth. If it's Hendo or Fabinho, fine. I'm happy with that. Do you know what I mean? We finally got depth, so I'm not one of these who's going to get into a shouting match of who will start. We finally got 5 or 6 players who could all start, and I'll be sound of it. And it hasn't been that way for a while in the centre mid.
And you've hit the nail on the head, because when a player signs, it's like, oh, who does he replace? Who's he in the team for? And it's, I'm looking at going, well, you can play him, or you can play Henderson, or you could play him and play Henderson further up, like you said, or you could leave Henderson out or him out, and you can bring, like you said, there's plenty of names around the team there now. And you have to remember, that's where we were really stung at the end of last season, where we literally went into a Champions League final with 3 fit centre midfielders, one on the bench that was fucking Emre Can, that was nowhere near capable, and Lallana, who ended up going up front. But there's more numbers there. I can't see him letting any of these midfielders go. I think he wants 7 or 8 for them 3 positions. Ian, Fabinho for you. Grizz has had a say on him. So I'm going to skip over Grizz on Fabinho. I'm going to come to him on something else. But for you, Fabinho, are you happy with the signing? And would you agree he's a proper player that brings depth to the squad, and like, he's multifunctional as well at the same time, which is always something Klopp looks for.
That's it, man. Yeah, he can play 6, he can play as 2, he can play as a wing back, he can even play as a box to box. I mean, he's got real pace. He's only played in midfield for 2 years. I'm a big fan. I didn't see it coming at all. I thought my choice for a number 6 was Torreira at Sampdoria. I'm a big fan, and it looks like he's going to Arsenal. So Liverpool don't need both, but Fabinho's has got much more going the other way towards the opposition's goal than Torreira. So he's more of a Mascherano. You know what I mean? So I'm a big fan. he's athletic, he's strong. Klopp likes big midfielders. And he'll perform a load, perform like three or four different roles if needed. I think he'll do well. There'll be times when you'll see him play at right wing back, I think.
Yeah, no, look, multifunctional is what it's all about. Like, well, like if you go through those midfielders, Oxlade-Chamberlain can play, you know, taking him as an example, I know he's out injured, but if you look at him, he can play wide. He can actually go wing back if you need him. He can play centre.
He takes penalties as well.
Yeah, he can play eight. Fabinho does take penalties, yeah. But then you look at Keita, he could go six, he can go eight, he can go anywhere. There's so much function in this team. And that's where I think we'll come to Fekir later, but that's where Fekir was brought in because he can play in the midfield. He can play. People are saying he can't play in the front three. I think he can. I think he'd be looked at to cover in them positions if needed to be. Grizz, I'm going to come to you on a different player because I know you did do a pod on Fabinho when he signed. And it's Naby Keita. I presume you watched the game. And Naby Keita, for the first game of the season, and I know it was Chester, but he looked a million fucking miles above anyone on the pitch. For me, in the second half, I thought he was unreal. He's so good. It's untrue.
Ah, oh, mate, I can't wait to see him.
Grizz.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I was trying to play down the hype in the morning of the match, but as soon as he stepped on that pitch in the second half, he's what you could, you know, I hate the term, but he's a natural Liverpool player. You can see it. He was born to play for the Reds. I know that sounds cringe, but he is. He's just epitomizes Jurgen Klopp's philosophy on football in terms of what we just mentioned about, in terms of he's a multifunctional midfielder. He can play the 6, the 8, even the 10 if needs be. He's silky on the ball. He's tenacious. He's got that nasty streak. He can play box to box. Fabinho, in my opinion, will take time to settle in the Premiership. And that's my honest opinion. Even though long-term, he'll be an amazing signing for us. Keita is predicted by many, and I agree, to take it by storm. And, he was playing the deepest yesterday alongside Ryan Kent and James Milner as his two able deputies. And, you know, he looked a league in a class above everyone on the pitch. Even from the number six, he was sort of making runs into their box near the end of the game. He's just a dream signing for us.
He's on.
Keita played six.
Mm. Yeah, no, don't.
In one of his first interviews, he said he sees himself as a defensive midfielder, didn't he?
Well,
which is weird, I thought.
But Matt, I wouldn't take anything from
it. I think there's something lost in translation there. He says his first role to defend.
So, cool.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I think he means it like that.
I think what it is Klopp, you know, he insists on everyone to sort of, I think he's had a word with him already, probably in terms of defence first. We look to defend first as a team. I think there will be games where we play double pivot with a Fabinho or a Henderson. I think that could possibly happen as well, but he's fucking immense. He's brilliant.
I was just thinking as well, how good is it to think James Milner, great player, is our number six choice at centre mid? How good is that to have?
I don't know if
that
he is.
Amount of depth.
I don't know who he is.
I would put him behind Lallana and Ox.
Oh, Lallana, I wouldn't.
That's just because he's injured.
No.
Pre-Christmas, he was amazing.
I don't know. I'd have look, we'd need
Lallana.
Yeah, we need a couple of games of that. Matt, I'll give you a brief synopsis of what he done yesterday. He comes on the pitch at halftime, right?
Milner?
Not Milner. Naby Keita. Naby Keita comes on yesterday, and even his own teammates were looking at him just before he came on the pitch. It was like, I can't wait to see this fella go. You could see it in their eyes, genuinely, right? He comes on, he is the deepest. He starts off with a couple of passes played into him, he fizzes passes back to people. Then he, this famous thing where he gets it, and it's just, I mean, one, two touches, and he's gone past three people. He's just gone past them as if they're not there. He's spraying the ball here, he's spraying the ball there. He's actually the deepest fella, but he's the one man on the edge of their box that's intercepting a pass out, and it drops to Sturridge, and he scores from it. He was just light years ahead of anything that was on the pitch. So much energy, so much power, so much strength. Didn't give the ball away. He genuinely looked like a fella that was playing for Liverpool years. That's where
you're right.
Now, I'm taking into consideration the opposition, but you know when a fella just looks like he's been there for a long time, and this is what I do.
I'm going to do your job for you here, Gav. I'm going to ask a question. Is Keita and Fabinho in for Emre Can and Philip Coutinho an upgrade? Grizz.
That's a question.
Have we upgraded our midfield from last summer?
I think in a Klopp team, yes.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Ian?
I'd agree.
I would say Fabinho is probably less talented than Chan, but suits our purpose better. And Coutinho, and I think Naby Keita will be the best midfielder in the world in 2 years.
Nice. See how I did there, Gav?
I asked
the question and I didn't give any answer. I just let them answer.
Yeah, but you know what usually happens, don't
good,
you?
It was good, that. Did you enjoy that, lads?
Yeah. How did you find that?
All right, mate.
Do you know what usually happens, though? Ian says no and stops. And then Grizz comes on for about 14 minutes. So, you know what I mean? You have to go there.
Context, lads. I only say no.
To wind you up, Gav.
I know.
When you've answered my question before I've opened my mouth, when I go,
he's fucking leading, isn't he? He leads. I know.
Do you know? I think we're underestimating Milner again. I really, really, really do think that we're saying, Milner's fifth and sixth choice again. Where I really think Klopp rates him higher than we do. Actually,
you completely took that the wrong way. I'm not in this thing where I'm now looking at who's the worst defender. I'm looking at who's the best. So I'm not saying Millie's shit. Millie's very good. I'm very happy to have him as my fifth or sixth backup. I'm delighted at it. I'm just saying, how good is it to now have a selection of midfielders who get in ahead of Millie? Do you know what I mean? That's a good selection.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if we're agreeing or if we're disagreeing with it, I don't know, and maybe you're underestimating him. That's another good sign as well, because it does show the options. And there will be games there where we need Milner to get stuck in. There'll be other games where you need Kate to break from midfield. There might be other games where we might bring in another player that's a bit more creative, and he might play. But it's all about having the options. And I genuinely think Liverpool are going to go into next season with... Well, what we're looking at now, if you list them, right, you have Henderson, Fabinho, you have... We count Oxlade-Chamberlain because he's a midfielder of Liverpool, right? Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lallana, Wijnaldum, Milner. So that's six at the minute. Is that right?
Rulich.
Say again?
Rulich.
Rulich. Yeah.
Well, he's still there.
Yeah, no, he's still there, and he's a first team player, there's no doubt about that. But I think another one comes in, you're probably looking at seven midfielders. Not counting Rulich. I think you're going to look at seven players that range from defensive to dynamic to just midfielders to creative.
It's a nice mixture.
They're all pretty versatile as well.
Yeah, well, it's multifunctional. That's what it's all about.
Did you mention Lallana in the midfield?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Another one for you, lads. Loris Karius. There's a lot made of Loris Karius, and rightly so, over what happened in late May and the European Cup final. Ian, where do you see teams going with Karius? And if he is to stay at the club, because the rumour going around is that, you know, we're not in for Butland, thank fuck, and the other keepers of the same ilk. What does he need to do, Ian, in pre-season to... Not put things right, but to, I suppose, get the confidence back of fans and his manager, more importantly.
First of all, they need to stop doing Rocky montages like a prick. He needs to do that.
Yeah,
I like it.
I loved it.
No, well, I knew Matt would love it. But listen, the way I see it, right, I don't think he's good enough. That's not reactionary. You know, I've said that he had a howler in him before. I don't think he's good enough. But what I do, and I don't think that Klopp sees him as his long-term number one, but Klopp can't get his long-term number one right now, so he doesn't want to ruin Loris Karius and have to buy an intermediate signing for when his next signing's available. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of what he's done with VVD, kind of what he's done. You know what I mean? He'll wait. So I think he's trying to keep his confidence up as much as possible in the hope that he'll do a job until his number one. One of two things will happen. Either he'll do a job until he can get his proper signing in, or he'll come good and he won't need a proper signing. I'm not confident, honestly. I think we'll be good enough elsewhere in the side that we'll still be in the mix with Karius and goal. But I don't think... Mate, he's ruined my summer. And I know people make mistakes, do you know what I mean? I get it. But this is the first time I've spoke to anyone about footy since the final. And it's all on him.
None of you's having the concussion shit.
You are.
Come on, guys.
Matt's lost his arse now. Go on, say it, Matt.
I'm not used having this concussion stuff.
No. No.
I am.
Hold on. He's handled it well, you know, though. He's come out and said, listen, I'm not using that as an excuse. It is what it is. It happened. It's not an excuse. It's a reason, which is spot on. Five days later, he showed 26 out of 30 signs of concussion.
Yeah, I get it all. But there's also no evidence that the concussion caused anything, because he made the same mistake against Roma that he made against Gareth Bale. Do you know what I mean? I said before the game, and I'd hate being right on it, but he's got fundamental flaws in his technique.
He's got mistakes in it. Yeah, I understand that. But is that not just because, as well, he's a young keeper? Because football players generally, when they're talented, they're up and down. As they get older, they cut the mistakes out and the shit games out of it. They get more consistent. That's what age does to most footballers. So the talented ones, when they're younger, they're talented and they'll show glimpses. And then as they get older, they do that consistently over the season and become world class. Isn't it? He's a young keeper. And yeah, the thing with a keeper is when they make a mistake, it's a big fucking mistake. That's the biggest problem with a keeper. So he's still young. We know he's talented because we've seen the glimpses of it. Surely if we give him time, then he'll have the opportunity to become more consistent with his performances.
I'm not gonna argue with the concussion team, because a report has come out and said he was, like you said, 26 out of 32 signs of concussion. Klopp done an interview, was it on LFC or maybe The Echo or one of these the other day, and he said, no, we had got concussion and we're not using, like you said, we're not using it as an excuse, but it's part of the reason and stuff like that. For me, the way it was handled was completely wrong. It was released in a way where Lawrence Carriers was making an excuse for himself and the club weren't doing it officially. The club should have come out. If it was that, the club should have come out.
It was the club, wasn't it, though?
No, it wasn't. It was not the club.
Sure.
It was not the club that came out and reported this. And then Klopp has to do this interview and say something about it. I thought the way it was handled was terrible. With regards to doing videos on Instagram and all, he's on his fucking holiday. I don't give a fuck what he's doing. For me, pre-season, he's going to be the main man in pre-season with Danny Ward. Mignolet won't be at the club, in my opinion. I'm with Ian a little bit. There is mistakes in him. And I think the first mistake he makes, probably not in pre-season, but the first mistake he makes, or the first time in a crowd when he's away from home gets to him, it's going to come down on him like an absolute fucking ton of bricks. And you have to remember, when it comes down, we aren't in a position to sign anyone because we play our first game after a transfer window closes. So there's a big decision to be made. Grizz,
just a quick one, Carriers. Yeah. You know what Ian said?
He's coming to you anyway, you tit.
And now he's going to come to a different point. But what I was going to say...
I was going to say, Grizz, what do you think he needs to do in pre-season?
It's not even about what he wants to do in pre-season. I think we're getting... There's two different things here. With the concussion, right... It's medically factual, isn't it, that he was concussed, right?
More or less, yeah.
So we can maybe make excuses for the final. But as Ian says, we've been questioning him before the final. If he's good enough to be number one for unanimously number one for Liverpool. I think the final was just fucking a load of bollocks, wasn't it? It's just what's going to stick in everyone's memory. But we've got to remember that we analysed or we discussed him way many, many times before the final as well. So we can't just base it on that final. I know everyone's saying, look, he messed up in the final, everyone messes up. I get what Matt's saying. There is talent in him. But Matt, that talent was already in doubt before that final. Now the pressure on him will be huge, Matt. And
I've seen you in the WhatsApp group saying, oh, Lovren's playing well, let's start Lovren. Exact same scenario. How is that any difference?
I'll tell you why it's not different, Matt. I'll tell you why it's different. Because we all agree, I think, that if we can upgrade on Lovren, we do it just like that.
I would on their thingy as well. I don't think Alisson is an upgrade. You look at Alisson, people were calling for us to spend...
I'm shitting myself over him.
Wait, people are calling for us to spend 70 million on him. How many mistakes... Since we played them that first game, how many mistakes have we seen him play?
People think spending
50 million on a keeper just eradicates all the mistakes. It doesn't happen like that. Keepers make mistakes. Look at De Gea in this World Cup. It's been shite.
I've seen Alisson play 7 times. Right.
I think what's sitting in front of him is more important than the keeper himself.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. I've seen Alisson play 7 times since we've been linked from twice against us, 5 times in the World Cup, I think. So, yeah, 7 times. And I can honestly tell you, if we're going to put up 60 to 70 million euros for that lad, I am absolutely bricking it. Because I don't see where this fella is worth this. I genuinely don't. I think he's stuck to his line. I think he's indecisive. I think some of the use of his feet, you know, with the ball of his feet has been atrocious. I just think it's way too small a sample size to go out and break a world record for a goalkeeper.
Listen, I've seen some amazing saves from him. He's a mad cunt and he gets in front of all sorts. But he's got just as many mistakes in him as Karius has. That's my point of view on it.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, if Karius makes them mistakes in a league game and we get to recover from it next week, I think it's not as much. But it is a European Cup final, and I suppose if you're in the European Cup final, you shouldn't be doing that sort of thing. You should be having quality enough to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, I'm going to get on to it. Now, you can go watch your own personal feelings into this. Grizz will probably go on what he's heard and stuff, or what you'd like to see. So I'm just going to throw a few names just to finish off. Because we've been linked with fucking all sorts. Jack fucking Grealish turned up today, and I was like, "What the fuck? Is he not?
Is he not a new one out?
Is he not unconscious and Magaluf with this right now?"
That's a big bid coming up apparently for Brandt.
Oh yeah, I've seen that today as well. But we'll have to go to Nabil Fekir first. Ian, Nabil Fekir, you've seen what went on with it, and you know the deal was done. He was in Liverpool top. He was doing interviews. He was fucking great. He was delighted with himself, and then it all went haywire. A, do you still think the deal is on? And B, if he comes in, is it someone you want to see in, and where would you see him playing for us?
Yeah, I do. I think they'll still sign him. And I think he'll play he can play in a number of positions. So he'll play mainly behind Bobby, I think. So as a 10. He could also play as an 8 against really poor sides. So like you'd ever
call him Bobby?
His name is Bobby.
I thought you hate calling him Bobby.
No, I hate Studge.
That's his name.
Studge.
A Millie. Fucking off the ox and all that.
What about Albie, do you like that?
I don't even know who he is.
Dexy.
Do you like Dexy?
I don't mind Dexy because I know a couple of Dexys. But I think he can occupy about 4 or 5 positions. I think that's why I go for him. I don't know how bad his knee is. I don't know about all that. But
he hasn't got one.
Apparently, so now I think we'll still get him. I'd say 75%.
Yeah, like to be honest with you, I think we have the money. When we get the Ings money in, we'll have enough money to buy him, so it won't be a problem. Matt, I'm gonna put something to you with regards to Fekir, right? And this is a little theory I have. I think the deal is...
By the way, before you ask, I've never seen him play. Okay?
No, I'm not going to...
Oh, we don't ask technical questions,
no,
Matt.
I'm not going to ask you because... I don't pretend to see him as well, and I don't believe half the pricks that tell you he's watched them fucking 50 times anyway, you know? That's straight out of a certain fucking handbook, and you know what a handbook that is. What?
I have.
No, you haven't.
No, you haven't.
So, Matt, I'm going to put this to you. He goes and he does a medical for Liverpool. He's in the training gear. He's doing a forced interview, as we've seen. That's all leaked. Then all of a sudden, something falls down. There's talk of the medical being a problem. You know, all right, Grant. Do you think Leon probably saw an opportunity in Liverpool hesitating to say, we'll tell them they're out of time. We'll let this run through the summer. He'll probably have a great World Cup and we can go back and sting them for another 10, 15 million. And it's kind of gone wrong for them? Or do you genuinely think Liverpool are sitting there literally, you know, fucking weighing this up and going, do we, don't we? And it's literally a 50-50 decision on Liverpool's part.
Right. I'm just going to answer my own question without you putting one on me. Right. I reckon...
Thanks, I'll just fuck off then.
Yeah. No, I reckon... Well, we all know, listen, we all know Aulas is a cunt. He's a big cunt, we know that.
Yeah.
But... look at the situation. There's a lot of reports about this. This is what I'm gauging from it. They have seen something in the medical. That that causes a bit of an issue. So what they've done, they wanted to structure it slightly different. This is how I see it anyway. They want to structure it slightly different with some clauses in there. The cunts turned around and said, no way. He's probably waiting till after the World Cup. And now it's the end of the World Cup. He hasn't even played because he's shit. So we'll go back and he'll probably accept the clauses anyway.
I mean, you think we get him?
Yeah, we're signing him.
Okay, and you're happy for him to sign? And you're all right with that? Is he a player?
Yeah. He looks superb, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, you haven't watched him, so you're being honest. Great. Nabil Fekir, does he sign, does he not sign? What are we? Go on, go hit me with everything you have, go on.
No, I'm exactly what Matt said. I think he's exactly...
This fucking eyelids up.
I think it's disgusting. Ian, fuck's sake. He's in the center of my screen. He's not even on the side, so I can't even ignore him. Fucking big face is fucking right in the center of my screen. I can't even ignore him. I think Fekir is very simple. I think the only complication will be if we 100% go back for him. That's my only fear. If we go back for him, we get him. It really is in our hands. It's not in Leon's hands, I believe, anymore, even though they own the player, even though Arlas is saying all that shit. Fekir wants us. If Klopp wants him, like I believe Klopp still wants him, because Klopp was apparently furious that the deal didn't get concluded before the World Cup, we get him. We go back for him. As Matt says, the World Cup scenario has backfired on them on big time. He's probably worth less than he was before, especially with after the medical reports, etc., etc. I think we go back with our terms, on our terms. I genuinely don't believe any other club will pay the kind of fee that we're looking to pay for him, which is a massive advantage.
I don't think any other club are interested because he's made it quite clear where he wants to be.
He's seen the Klopp hugs and he wants to be part of it. And it's just like... It's just like the Naby Keita, the VVD, the Oxlade scenario, all of the above. The only fucking nagging complication is that it's that knee thingy bob, right? And that's the only doubt in my head. Otherwise, it's a 99.9%. I'd go with 70%. We go back for him, his ass.
I think 99.9%, 70% will go back for him. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
I didn't say nothing like that. I said, if it wasn't for the knee scenario, Ian, I said it would be 99.9% done. Boom. Right? Boom. But because of that knee thing, it's 70-30%. But as Matt says, I think we go back for him on our terms, and he ain't got a choice, the Leon chairman.
Okay. Do you know what? I think that the knee thing is an issue, but I think Liverpool have seen an opportunity here. Genuinely. And I know, you know, there's people that knock FSG and go, oh, they won't pay it. And they're fucking mean with their money. And most of the time they're right, or they're wrong, sorry. This time I think they might have something in this where Liverpool went, oh, there's an opening there for to cut 10 million off this. You know, or there's an opening here to cut 5 million and the player really wants to come. So, you know, we hold all the cards. And I think it's an opportunity Liverpool have seen. So, you know.
Fucking right.
Ruthless business coach. And look, at the end of the day, if you save 5 million and you can turn around to Mo Salah and say, listen, there's another 100 grand a week, you know, or there's another 50 grand or 100 grand a week for the next year, you know, and because we've saved on this lad because we told him his need.
It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. It's a business. Of course it's a business.
£5 million is a large sum of money.
Yeah, and I think it's a larger sum of money in wages terms than it is in transfer fares. Terms, if you know what I mean, like, you know, like, on the way. Ian, I'm dying to ask you about this player, right? And I've deliberately not said that to you since the start of June because you hate football now. But Jerdan Shaqiri, right? I'm dying to ask you about this fella, right? I'll ask all the lads, but I was dying to come to you on it. Heavily linked, £13 million buyout clause because they got relegated to Stoke City. 8 or 9 goals last year for. In 23 games or something for Stoke, which wasn't bad considering they probably only scored about 12 all season. But what do you make of this one? And same question again, what do you make of it? Do you see it happening? Are you happy for it to happen?
I think it'll happen. I think 13 million, mate, it's not on that. You know what I mean? That's like a fucking...
5 million is
loads of money.
5 million, in context.
Well, 5 million is 99% loads, but 14 million is only 70%.
Exactly. Maths. Honestly, mate, I'm not arsed either way. I think he'll strengthen. I've said on Twitter, he won't strengthen our first 11, but he will strengthen the bench. And I think if Mo Salah gets injured in the Champions League final and you've got Shaqiri on the bench, it doesn't affect the way we play as much because he can come on and still cause a bit of damage, you know what I mean? He's a really strange player, Shaqiri, because he looks like, you know what I mean, like he fucking works on the waltzes or something at the local fair. He's just a little fat fucker, but then he takes his top off and he's ripped.
Yeah, he's made of Lego, doesn't he?
He's a strange looking fella.
There's no round edges on that cunt.
He's strange, man. He doesn't even know what a right angle is.
No.
But he's like fucking... He's a maverick, though. He's something that can make something happen. Do you know what I mean? He can score a 25-yarder or he can beat a couple of players. And I think he's got a bad attitude. I think he'd only be with us for about 6 or 7 months before he started moaning if he weren't getting a goal.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not going to be on the bench. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all in all, mate, he's one of those signings where... I don't care if we get him, and I'll be all right if we do. Do you know what I mean? I think he's good value. I think if you get him for 12, 13 million, you can sell him in 2 years for 40 million because that's the way the market is. From a business perspective, it's a good move. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's a good move because you pay 14. If you get a year out of him, he could go for 3 years, don't get me wrong. But if you get a year out of him and he scores 6 or 7 goals here this season, but he's not happy, you turn it over and you get him for, you pay. Someone pays 20 for him.
Buying money in it.
Yeah.
Me and you have got with him. He's another player who only seems to work hard when he's got the ball around him. I think he'd have to work on his defensive aspect. He'd leave Trent massively exposed, you know what I mean, if he played there. But then again,
Salah does.
I suppose Salah does as well. Yeah. So yeah, mate, it's a no lose gamble if they go for him. Like, I'm all right with it. It'd be exciting. He's like another Balotelli.
Yeah.
And but with ability.
Yeah, that's true. Matt, Ian said there 13 million is a no-brainer for him. You know, if it works, great, it's a bargain. If it doesn't work, you turn it over in a year's time or 18 months' time, and you probably get 20 for him because he's probably on a 4-year deal. You know, I've seen things like, oh, Stoke are delaying this deal because they want the player in return. Stoke haven't got a fucking option in this. You go in and you give the 13 million, Stoke have to let the player go. It's as simple as that. Are you one that would be in support of this as a player that's clearly going to come in as a backup. Like we seen last season, Salah. Oh, Salah's coming in, he's going to be backup to Coutinho and Firmino and Mane, but then he just came into the team and he was ridiculous. But this fella looks like a definite backup as a 10 if we play a 4-2-3-1, like Grizz said earlier, with a double pivot or whatever it is. No, but...
That's the fucking question.
Do you think this goes ahead? Are you happy with it? And where do you see him playing?
I can't really add much more than what Ian did. I'm absolutely sound with it. His points there, I mirror them really. 12 million, there's no risk. Fucking do it. He's proven. He's a great player. He can score a goal. He can assist. You know exactly what you're going to get from him. Fucking, yeah, do it straight away. No hesitation.
I mean, just bolt. I definitely do it as well. For 12 million, it's fuck all. And you're only using half the Ian's money to buy him.
You know what, though, mate? Apparently, Klopp does all these big, like, personality interviews with them and stuff. And I just don't see him fitting that mould. I mean, I've obviously never met the lad, like, but he just doesn't come across.
I'll tell you one thing, Ian. I read, and it was, he had a major problem with the Stoke City dressing room last season because he actually called out about 5 or 6 players. Now, high enough profile players for Stoke because of their attitude. And in fairness, for a fella that looked playing the team that were fucking brutal, he turned up 34 times last season.
He doesn't give up. Games, you know? Like, all right, he doesn't track back, but if they play in front of him, he's got the ball, he'll chase it down.
Yeah, I think his attitude, I think can be is a little underestimated. I think he wasn't happy at Stoke last season and he let players know. And if you remember at the end of last season, Charlie Adam, I think it was on a radio station. It might have been BBC or something. And he was the same. He was saying some of the players' attitudes were terrible, and I believe Shaqiri was one of them that called out all these players.
If I was a Stoke, I'd be a miserable bastard too.
Yeah, so would I. If I was anywhere near
Stoke, can't judge him by that.
Yeah, if I had, yeah, fuck that. Grizz, yes or no, does it happen? And are you happy if it does?
Yes. Should have been announced Friday, 6 p.m., but wasn't. So,
oh God, he's gone in big here, lads.
It's
99% or is it 70%?
What a wanker.
He's back.
But 12 and a half million or 13 million, it's a no-brainer. It's one of those ones. He's a premiership player, an international who's played at the highest level, gives us squad depth, can play either wing, can even play as a... Because he's quite strong. Well, we know he's fucking strong. His calves are probably the size of Ian's head. So he's a fucking strong fella as well. So I think he can play as a false nine as well, if needs be. So I think it ticks all the boxes in terms of... it's a no-brainer for me. It makes sense in every way, and I think he'll be a quality addition, to be honest with you. He's got that X factor about him. I don't give a shit about his attitude and all that, because that's his previous clubs. When he's under the stewardship of Klopp, that'll all be sorted.
Okay.
Makes sense in every way.
Before we finish, lads, I'm going to ask each one of you the same question. Matt, I'll start with you. We've discussed a couple of players there that we think might happen, you know, and we're happy enough if it does. Give me one player you think we do sign in the summer that we haven't mentioned already.
Fucking hell, Gav.
Go on. No, it's someone in your head that you're thinking, yeah, I think we'll get him. Now, we haven't mentioned him on this show. You might have mentioned him in fucking WhatsApp groups, seen it on Twitter. Is there someone outside of the likes of Fekir, Shaqiri, Alisson? Is there anyone outside of that you're thinking, yeah, I think we get him?
Dembele.
Oh, what a show. Dembele, Barcelona's Dembele.
Any of them.
You can't piss us about. There's thousands of them.
I'm covering my bases.
It's amazing.
I've got more chance.
Isn't it mad when you say, oh, that Dembele friend? You go, oh, which one? Which one is it? You know what I mean? You have to go, oh, it's the Spurs one.
Has Fulham still got one?
No.
He was Celtic.
No, the two Dembele's went from Fulham, one to Spurs, wasn't it, and one to Celtic?
They had two?
Yeah, they had two, yeah. Yeah, the striker went from Fulham, didn't he, to Celtic?
Yeah.
So you're going with Ousmane Dembele, the French fella that plays for Barcelona?
No, I like the Celtic one.
The Celtic one?
Moussa Dembele.
No, fuck it, I'm not being tied down. You're not tying me down to anyone, I'm saying Dembele.
Wait, Dembele. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Dembele. Any of the Dembele's?
Yeah.
Okay, no worries. All right, we like fucking the Dembele bingo, Will. Grizz, give me a name. Who do you think? Yeah, give me one name that you think we get him. Not someone we've mentioned on here tonight. Is there anyone else?
No, we're going to get our first choices, the ones we want. I don't think there's anything else out there to be done. I think we're going to get the two signings that we want. If we're going to get a keeper, we're going to get a keeper, but Shaqiri and Fekir. And that's it.
He's asked you for one fucking name.
Is there anyone else? You can say no. You can say no, there's no one else.
Is no one else, because we're going to get the two players that we want.
Okay, so you basically think our summer ends on Shaqiri and Fekir?
Yeah, Ousmane Dembele. If Willian goes to Barca, we get Ousmane Dembele.
Matt's boxed off all the Dembele.
I've got dips.
No, I'll say Ousmane. I'll say the one. If Barcelona managed to get Willian or whatever, how do you pronounce his name, the Chelsea one, or whoever they want as a winger, they were trying to get Griezmann. Obviously, he said fuck off to them. But if they get another winger, then we get Ousmane Dembele on loan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pronounced Willian. Yeah.
Ian, do you have a player outside of them that you think Liverpool will go for and get?
Matty Ryan,
the goalkeeper.
But that we're trying to smoke it.
We're doing so well. Matty
Ford. What's wrong with him?
I don't know. No, it's not for me.
Who's your player then? Yeah, and you said a player that no one's mentioned. So, kind of fucking mystery, you could say.
I think we signed Lascelles off Newcastle.
No chance.
He's been linked with us for ages.
I said not mentioned on here tonight.
You're full of fucking shit. Bring back
Sorry.
Skinny Gav, I liked it.
Okay, I'll go
Angry Gav. Angry Gav didn't talk to us for 3 months. No one knows that.
Yeah, I don't. It's all professional. This is. There's no. No
spoke fucking to me every day.
Spoke to Ian every day. I used to fucking just leave long voicemails just. And
so it's racist you again. Bed.
What? No. How are we racist?
You on for this guy?
Always. Always.
They don't talk to us too, do they, pricks?
You're a prick, man.
I think Lascelles is one. I think they were going to set and a half.
I like Lascelles.
My dream one would be All Black all day. Spend all the money on him, genuinely.
Saying that for 2 years. It's not going to happen all year.
All right. Well, listen.
There's got mistakes in him.
That's been the fourth back five. Fat back four of the summer. We might be back next Sunday. We'll make a decision during the week, won't we?
No, week off. Week off.
Next Sunday, the World Cup final?
Yeah,
I'll be here.
I'll be here as well. Do you know what? I'll ring a couple of them bellies and see if they want to join us. we'll probably be back next Sunday. We'll sort it during the week and we'll let you know.
Transfer incoming this week, lads. Transfer incoming this week.
Okay, all right. So, Grace, before we go, the transfer is incoming this week. Do you want to go any further on that, or do you just want to leave it at that?
Leave it at that.
Nah, he's one of those cryptic bellings now, isn't he?
Shaqiri, fuck face.
Shaqiri.
There's my cryptic clue for you.
You're hedging your fucking bet, eh? You've got a whole week. The World Cup's coming to the end. Loads of teams knocked out, and you're fucking throwing something like that in. Close your eyes and throw a fucking dart, you dickhead.
6 p.m.
Then Billy. Right, we're out of here.